Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Deshaun Watson meets the media. How tough is the Cleveland media going to be on Deshaun Watson? How will the Browns PR steer this thing? Are they going to? Because if it is, if it's open and they don't, and they, you know, there's a lot of times, like, football questions only, people. Football questions only. Sorry, we're not talking about that. Deshaun still has civil suits. He's not going to be able to talk about any of that stuff. So can you? Can we just leave it to football? Is that going to be the case? Or are they going to allow the Cleveland media to ask Deshaun questions about the 22 suits?
I think that's a good question. Because I think it would be a mistake for Cleveland to just hide him.
Yeah, I do
too. I think it's a mistake. Because they already look like, you know, people are already saying Cleveland's protecting him with this contract. I don't think they will protect him here. I don't think. Because they're already being accused of, you set this contract up just so you could protect Deshaun and protect his money. And then they'll be accused nationally of protecting him by limiting the questions. So I think... Okay, so is it going to be Deshaun makes a statement or Deshaun answers questions? I think it's going to be Deshaun answers questions, right? Or is it going to be Deshaun makes a statement?
Deshaun is. I wonder if Rusty's going to be up there with him. Just, I'm sorry, my client.
Ooh, that's
can't,
a bad look.
That's a real.
I don't like
in
that.
In a press conference, introducing press, your new
an
quarterback.
Introductory, like, well, he's on retainer anyway, and it's not done, so it's I might as well use him up here. Boy, what a bad look that'd be to have your have Rusty Harden over there. Deshaun, we have told Deshaun that we're not going to answer any questions about that. There's still civil litigation pending, so we don't want to have any kind of questions asked about that. In due time, the truth's going to all come out. And
if Rusty is up at the podium, that'll be will that not be the first introductory press conference with a lawyer? How? No, he can't. They can't bring Rusty up there. Although Rusty will be up. No, Deshaun. He'll be in the crowd, in the front row. No, Deshaun. Don't hey. Answer. Don't. No.
If somebody asks Deshaun a question, Deshaun, here, Deshaun. I'll be Deshaun.
All right.
And then you
hey,
ask
Deshaun, these 22 civil suits, a lot of people are saying there's a lot of smoke, and you keep saying that nothing happened, yet how are there 22 allegations?
No, I can't.
I got to take.
There's still things pending, and we have to respect the process, so I can't talk.
I'd like to invoke my Fifth Amendment.
I'd like
rights.
To invoke Fifth Amendment. No, nope, I'll tell you that. Hold on 1 second. Sidebar.
He's not having.
Yeah, so I can't comment
he's not
because
at a congressional hearing.
Oh, that would be bad if Deshaun's at a table and he's sitting there and Rusty's right next to him and he goes and they put the hand on the microphone like right. They do.
Yep.
And Rusty leans over and in his ear, he says, at this time, I can't say anything because there are legal issues pending. So hopefully you'll respect the fact that I'm not allowed to say anything right now.
So,
hold on 1 second. Okay. Yeah. At this time, we're not going to be able to answer that question.
I'd like to invoke my Fifth Amendment rights.
That won't be good if you say, I invoke my Fifth Amendment. And then Rusty would be like,
don't.
You don't have to.
On advice of my lawyer. What if Rusty tells
on the advice of counsel, I am not answering that. Hey, Deshaun is he's a slick guy, so I think he's going to be able to handle this. But he could also misstep and say the wrong thing,
too. I think the Browns will handle. Now, the Browns told him when they were doing this that we're going to rebrand. We're going to help you rebrand and get your image back. That was one of their selling points in the initial meeting, as we understand it. That was one of the things that they told Deshaun is we are going to help you rebrand and get back to that Deshaun Watson that people love again. If they, in fact, don't allow any questions about the lawsuits or the allegations against him, I think it's a bad look for the Browns, and I think it's bad for Deshaun. Football questions only. I think that will be a killer. So Deshaun, when can we ask you about this stuff after all of the civil suits are? Can we ask you after all the civil suits are done? Then we can finally ask you because you don't have any pending litigation, so you can answer our questions then. I think it's a bad look if they do that today. That was a really bad look.
I did too. And I don't think they want a bad look. I think the Browns have had enough bad looks.
But
as it is.
You know every question is going to be about that then.
Except Deshaun could say, I just want to. But it is easy. You could just say, this is how I think it's going to go. They'll try to, and Deshaun will just say, I'd like to talk about it, but there's some pending legal matters, so I really can't speak about that. And that's all he's got to do. Hmm. Somebody else will ask a follow-up to it. Like I said, I really can't speak to that. And then finally, the third question will come, and he'll say, right now I can answer football questions or questions about the Browns, but as far as the legal stuff, I'm really not allowed to speak on that, and that will just have to wait. And then he's out of it. That's all he's got to do.
At any point, will he say, I think it's proven that I, the criminal.
No, I mean, they said innocent.
Yeah. They really didn't say innocent.
The jury came back and said innocent.
At any point, will he say the word innocent?
Yep.
At any point, will he say the word innocent?
That's a good one. So yes, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no minus 150. I'm going to say no is minus 200. Yes is plus 150.
I think innocent will come
because
out.
Because then you are answering a question.
At some point, he'll say, I'm innocent.
Proclaimed my innocence.
No.
You're right. Okay, I'm still going to say no. Because he'll want to avoid it completely. But you're right. The line is now moved. Innocent, saying the word innocent or innocence will be minus 150. No. Yes is plus 130.
I'm going to say the word innocent comes out of his mouth today. Let's get Jeremy in here.
RJ's right. Go ahead, get on the mic, RJ.
What did he say?
RJ, our new producer, RJ, who is not working the board today, still learning. He's right. This is the angle that you haven't hit.
First off, I would like to thank my Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm. God will come up.
Who saved,
Jesus will too.
Hold on, impending danger. And I'd like to say I've been taking many Bible classes since of my experience that I've had in this. And I'd like to thank God. Thank you.
There it is.
No, God will come up.
I think for sure
God came up first in the at the press conference at the courthouse.
God versus innocence. God comes up. First is minus 1,000.
God will be mentioned. I'm pretty sure God will be mentioned more than innocent.
Because he'll make a statement first. Yeah. God's 100% in the statement.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah. And you know what? That's nice, although I don't think God really had. Hopefully God. Yeah, I don't. God didn't have anything with him to do with it, the no bills.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Rusty did.
Rusty did.
Thanks to Rusty. Number two. Do you think that there will be any mention of the Texans by Deshaun? I'm going to say no. I don't think at a new team's press conference.
What if he's asked about the Texans? What if he's asked, hey, Deshaun, you played your way out of Houston. Why? Yeah, I mean, you talked your way out of Houston.
Now,
why?
That one he should have to answer.
He should have to answer.
I'd like to take the fifth.
No. You can answer that one, Deshaun.
Yeah.
That one was not going to criminalize.
Well, as you can tell, Houston has a long history of being terrible with terrible ownership. But here in Cleveland with Jimmy Haslam, this is what great owners.
Ask all those Flying J employees. What a great guy he is.
This is what great ownership looks like.
Oh, is it? Jeremy, let's get him in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you say, Jeremy?
Hey, guys. I love the show.
I got to tell you, last night's game was awesome, considering I found all 55 spots on the island last night that could actually hear that crappy AM radio show that was broadcasting the game, but I happened to found it in the last 4 minutes. Is awesome. My question is about Deshaun Watson. So if he has been cleared by a grand jury, how can the NFL suspend him?
Oh, well, there were no Ben Roethlisberger was cleared of his. Ezekiel Elliott was too. It's not predicated just on criminal charges. If you're tarnishing the brand and there's moral turpitude clauses in your contract.
I'm glad you asked because I've got it pulled up right here. The league's policy does not rely on the same burden of proof as the legal system. The personal conduct policy says that persons who fail to live up to the standard of contact are guilty of conduct detrimental and subject to discipline. Even when the conduct itself does not result in conviction of a crime, the league is fully within its rights to suspend Watson for conduct detrimental to the league, even though he wasn't charged. And that's why they were, it came up for, it's considered quote unquote violence against women, which is the same thing that Ezekiel Elliott got hit for. Deshaun's going to get hit for, because here's the thing. He has admitted to quote unquote consensual sex. It did not start out that way. And where he was seeking out people from direct messages on Instagram, non-licensed masseuse. So he was seeking out women to give him massages who weren't even masseuses. He has admitted to that. This is a real thing. The league is going to look at, and then consensual sex that happened afterwards, they're going to look at this and the charges, and they're going to say, this is my guess. They've done research. They actually have talked to all the women who filed charges. I don't know about all of them, but I think so, because Tony Busby didn't like how it went down. He thought they weren't respectful enough, or they were too cold. Remember that, John?
Yeah. The women didn't like it.
Yeah, I think they are going to. Okay, let's break it here. Jeff Van Gundy's about to join us right now. Let's cut this one short also. Coach Van Gundy said he could do that. So let's do Absolute Marble a little bit later.
We'll do that later.
We're going to break it right now. Jeff Van Gundy to talk about the Cougars and coaching when we come back. 9:14 here on the bench.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, we've had a lot of people. We've had Dan Monson on. We've had Seth Greenberg. We've had Tom Penders was on yesterday. And one of the first questions that we ask him is, how as a coach do you like watching this Cougs team? And I can't imagine that there's someone that enjoys watching the way that this Cougs team plays more than this guy. Coach Jeff Van Gundy, the best darn analyst in the game today, joining us once again on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, welcome in. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Tell us about,
well,
as
first
a
of all,
coach,
are you watching? Like, are you watching? Do you care? Do you like to watch college basketball? Because you're locked in. You have a day job, too. It's really a night job. Were you doing a lot of NBA? Do you like March Madness? I mean, do you like it more than, say, the NBA All-Star Weekend?
I'm not sure what would be below NBA All-Star Weekend. But I would say this, that I have started to enjoy college basketball in the last 5 years more. There was a time period that I didn't watch hardly any of it. And now I watch a lot more, and it's a lot more enjoyable. I love the differing styles of play between the teams and the differences in the leagues in the country. And so, yeah, March Madness is epic. And you're right about Houston, man. Kelvin Sampson said to me once, and I have not forgotten it, the toughest team always has a chance. And that's what his team is. They're the toughest team, and they always have a chance.
So it reminds you at all of your Knicks teams?
Well, the one thing I would say about Kelvin's teams, I'll tell you this real quick story. It's like I was doing USA Basketball. We were practicing at Houston's facility. So we got there early, and they're doing their summer workouts. And you guys probably don't know this. Like there used to be this thing that coaches, and I'm talking 25 years ago, 30 years ago, used to use for rebounding. It was called the rebounder, and it was this little plastic thing that fit on the hoops so the ball doesn't go in.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Okay? Houston has to be the only team. I'm looking there in the summer workout. Everybody else is doing two-ball dribbling and all that. They're playing live five-on-five with the rebounders on both baskets, so the ball never goes in. And everything is a rebounding scrum. And I'm sitting there saying, I know why this guy wins. He dares to do it differently. And his kids allow him to do it differently. And it was truly eye-opening. And their defense and rebounding, and they're underrated on offense, too. Like, it's not like they're just totally, like, one-dimensional. They get all the credit for their defense and all the credit for their rebounding, and it's deserved. But they're better offensively than people give them credit for.
Those second chances are unbelievable. We had Coach Sampson on, and he said, no, we're pretty good. You don't get to where we are unless we're pretty good. Now, he downplays it a little bit. But, Coach, they lost their whole Final Four team last year. They lost Sasser and Mark as well this year. I don't know that we've seen a team. A lot of teams, we lost our two best scorers, so we're done for the season. I don't know that we've seen something like this before.
I agree. It's truly remarkable. And, you know, I watched their big guy. Help me with their big guy last year who played at Texas Southern this year.
Gresham?
Gresham. Right. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I didn't even realize he had left to, like, I'm like, how are they doing this? And it goes back to, you know, I think everybody has to know in coaching who you can coach and who you can't coach, what type of players. And I think Kelvin knows exactly who he can coach, what type of personalities. You can miss some shots, but if you don't rebound and guard, it's not going to be a good fit. And so, like, Edwards came, and I don't think he had that, like, mentality as much, and that's who he is now. Like, he's a shot maker, but you're not getting on the floor if you don't rebound and guard. And it's so impressive what they've done. And you have to give the administration credit, too. They up their game basketball facilities-wise. You know, you guys have been there. You've seen the beautiful practice facility they have now and the redone arena, which is beautiful. So this is a school accomplishment, but it's driven and spurred by the toughness and tenaciousness of Kelvin.
There's a great article about Tajay Moore in The Athletic. They just put out a few days ago that, you know, Rod Barnes had to tell, Kelvin called him and said, what kind of kid is he? Because I ain't taking the kid, you know, that's not, he said, this kid will work his tail off for, and Tajay Moore was just going to be a 5 to 10 minute guy, and he's turned into a huge piece for this team because of all the injuries, but he's the exact kind of guy. Kelvin says, I don't take guys. You know, most guys will take,
he told
this is a 4 or 5 star kid, I've got to have him. Kelvin says, my kind of kid.
Well, we had Kelvin on the other day, Coach. He said, we know what it's supposed to look like. He was very matter of fact, like, we know what it's supposed to look like here at University of Houston. So he knows what he wants, and he recruits what it looks like. He recruits guys that he knows can stand up to the rigors of what it's going to take.
Well, I think understanding, I mean, that's the value of experience. Like, you know, trying to do a talent grab when you know it's not a fit. All coaches have probably done that at some point in their career, usually when they're younger. And I think Kelvin knows exactly who can play for him, who can't, who succeeds under him, and who doesn't. And he recruits to that. And I think when you're as experienced and as talented as Kelvin is, too, he also understands the people driving the rankings don't necessarily see the game like he sees it. So, and I you can't understate what an unbelievable job he has done there. And, like, it's just it's so fun to watch.
Coach, I want to ask you about, so Mike McDaniel said he's the new head coach at Miami and with the Dolphins. And he made a comment that I think is probably true in all coaching. You either coach it or you allow it. Meaning, if you don't coach something up and coach something out of a player, then you're allowing it. And that is a standard. So you either set a standard or you allow it. We do it as parents at home. Me and my wife were talking about it. We've allowed certain things that we shouldn't have allowed, and things get tougher because that's how standards are set. And so Kelvin Sampson has set a standard, right? He coaches it. So he set a standard. That's what is expected. So when a new player comes in, that's what is expected, and they get into that, the rhythm of defending, rotating. What I want to ask you is this, though, Coach, because you had a team that defended. Every team you had, you demanded they defended. How hard is it to get guys to buy in the NBA level in a smaller shot clock, granted, much more talented players, buy into playing defense like University of Houston does, even for more minutes than expected on the NBA level? Wouldn't that lead to just much more wins?
It would, but there are complicating factors in the NBA now. Kelvin's not consulting a performance specialist who tells him, the workload of your players is too high. We can't practice for the next week, right? He doesn't have a GM saying, we've got to get our, you know, third-round draft pick or the fifth signee on into the game. You know, like, you have to earn your way into a game for Kelvin. If you're in the NBA, oftentimes, you're given certain opportunities because you're a draft pick, a young player, whatever it may be. So the whole, and I'm not a big fan of this word, but the whole culture of Houston basketball is so different than what you find in the NBA, where there are multiple voices, and what you're saying Kelvin values and what we see he values aren't necessarily valued like that in the NBA. And I just think, like, it's apples and oranges. But no one would ever convince me that Kelvin wouldn't be successful in the NBA. I think he would kill it in the NBA. Because I think he would modify some things, but he wouldn't lessen his demands, and he wouldn't lessen or change or alter what he believes wins. And I think, like you said, you can't emphasize everything. And you can't fight everything, but I think you have to decide as a coach what you will tolerate and what you won't tolerate. And I think at every level, what wins and what loses is the same, and you've just got to try to figure out how you can stay true to yourself and true to your core beliefs.
Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I had never heard of this before, but I would imagine it's something that you and Tom Thibodeau might do, is run suicides the day before a Sweet 16 game. did you do that with your teams?
Never. Never. And again, this is what it goes back to. Like, Kelvin's doing it his way, right? Can you imagine an NBA, one of those guys from Australia they bring over to put those things on every player, and they say you're in the red zone, green zone. They hate work. They hate work, right? Like, if to do that before that game, they don't understand what he's done all year, which is to build the mental strength and toughness in his team. Like, we're going to run suicides? Okay. So what? We're ready. And, like, I don't know how many they ran. I don't know why they ran, if it was a natural part of practice or if it was punishment. But the whole idea is that your players start to value what you value as a coach. And when you watch them play, you can see, unequivocally that their players, whether you want to call it buy-in or value, they do all of that. Kelvin's not having to cajole them anymore. And like, he's up their butt, but he, you know, they want to be challenged. They want to be great. And this is their way towards greatness. And it's truly remarkable to see. It's so fun.
And this is why I don't think he'll ever leave, Coach, because in the NBA, first of all, he couldn't do it his way at all. So there's no question about that. But even to a bigger program, even a bigger program, it would be difficult. Kelvin Sampson right now, 66 years old. Kelvin at 46 might have wanted to aspire to do this or do that. Kelvin at 66, my guess is he wants to do it his way, and he can do it at U of H his way. And the money's
good. Well, yeah, and it is a big-time program.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
He's made it that. Like, you know, he took over a tough situation, and like I said, I think there's been remarkable facility improvements. Like you said, they pay him very, very well, so he's improved the job. I'm sure his staff salaries have gone up as well, so, you know, he can attract, you know, really, really good coaches to help him. And, like, why would you want to leave? Like, everything in front of you that you could possibly want in coaching, which is a national championship. I mean, last year, Final Four, this year, still competing for it. And I don't see him slowing down anytime. I mean, and when are they going to the Big 12? When is that?
Within a couple of years.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting too, because that league is so physical that they won't be the only team that plays like that. Like, you'll see a lot of those Big 12 teams, like, they're nasty. And it'll be interesting to see U of H in that league. They're playing for it all. Like, I don't know why he would even think of entertaining anything else.
No, he's got it. He's his own boss. He's got it. He's got it made here. Coach, how pissed off are you that Carlos Correa is a twin?
You guys got to answer me this question. I looked at that, like, I saw the terms of the contract, highest paid infielder. He has an out after the first year, right, and the second year if he wants it.
Right.
Did we offer him the same thing?
No.
Ooh, that's a sore subject.
No, we didn't.
Why not?
No. We're trying to figure it out. Even if you know it's a short-term deal, you got Justin Verlander for two more years. Why not keep the window open 1 to 2 more years of the same team you have?
The last offer was $5,160, and that was it. And, yeah.
Yeah. That's an average of over 30, right?
32, yeah.
And what did he get for this contract?
35.1.
But it's a 1 year opt out. He can go get a big market. Well, but deal.
Why would you do that too? You got Verlander for a couple of years. Why wouldn't you? Why you would do that too if you actually knew
the Astros? Yeah,
yeah.
The one thing I agreed with the Astros about, like, you know, the whole, like, because he was thinking he wanted a 10-year contract for, you know, right?
No.
I can understand why you don't do that, right?
Yep.
But I don't understand. Well, first of all, I also don't understand Correa. Why would you leave over $2.5 million?
He didn't want a 5-year deal, though. They wanted a 5-year. He didn't want a 5-year deal. He wants to be able to get that long-term deal. He might be able to get it next offseason or the following offseason. He'll still be young. Yeah, he didn't want a 5-year deal.
And he's competing against, I mean, it has to be said, he's competing against the ego. And I'm not downgrading this or talking bad about Carlos. But you know how it is, Coach. At this much money, it's the ego of he wants his number to be the same as the countrymen who play shortstop that have already gotten the deals like Tatis. And, you know, he wants his number to be similar or even better because at the end of the day, the numbers are the numbers. They can't spend this amount of money. But it's an ego thing where, hey, I'm the best. I'm at the top of the heap.
But I just don't understand why we wouldn't want him for 3 years. So if he took the whole thing and he never opted out, you have him for 3 years at a reasonable number, it seems like, which is unreasonable to me, like the number. But and then if he opts out, you can make – he may – you know, and it gets to be too high, then you can be out of it then. I guess I just don't understand. why we wouldn't.
We didn't understand understand how the Astros, how he's not an Astro right now. Yeah. It seemed like it all lined up for Carlos to be an Astro for one or two more years.
Yep.
And yet it doesn't look like the Astros
here's
had
the,
any
here's
interest.
The only thing that I could tell you, Coach, is if you're giving him $35 million with Tucker and Yordan coming up, those guys look at that contract and they see, hey, I've got better numbers than Carlos had offensively. I want that kind of money, too. That might have created a problem. The Astros, they drew a line in the sand and they said they ain't doing it. Are you going to be a Cleveland Brown fan now that Deshaun's there?
You know, I stopped going last year when he said, like, I went to the first game where they beat Jacksonville and I didn't go back. Because I was like, you're paying him to sit out. I hate that whole notion now in sports where, you know, we're doing the same thing with John Wall, right? Paying him to sit out. He's healthy. Like, I don't get it. Okay. So I loved Watson as a player. What he did, and there was something there. Like I don't know, the criminal complaints are dismissed or whatever. That doesn't change my mind. He did something reprehensible, right? But I think people who are criticizing the Browns, like, you know, they shouldn't have taken him. Like, go back through the history of sport, right? This isn't a morality play, professional sports. And they took a risk, and we'll see if it pays off for them. But the guy's a heck of a player, and he's a heck of a competitor. And, like, I'll be interested to see what we're able to do with the draft compensation that we got. But you're never the winner of the draft when you lose great players. And especially in that sport, a great quarterback, you can spend the next 10 to 15 years trying to find one.
Sometimes at a minimum.
Yeah.
Sometimes at a minimum. Yeah. Coach, we appreciate you.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Anyway. No, what were you saying?
No, I was just saying, like, I understand why they moved him. I understand why Cleveland took him. If I was a Texan fan and they would have played him last year, I would have been queasy going to watch him play. You know, because you got daughters. You're like, what is this? Like, right. I just hope that he may have, like, issues and he needs, like, help. I hope, you know, people are trying to, like, obviously, like, figure that out for him. Because, man, it was some of that stuff is reprehensible.
Absolutely. That's Jeff Van Gundy. The best in the business right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, thanks for giving your insight about Kelvin and the Cougs and all this stuff. We really appreciate it, man. Thanks for your time.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Jeff Van Gundy right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Speaking of the Cougs.
You know who's been on?
Speaking of the Cougs, who handed you free money yesterday?
Jeff Aronoff.
Well, five-star.
Oh, yeah, five-star.
Yeah, he handed you free. He said, unload. Right. On the home team.
Right.
He said, quote, unquote, unload on the home team. Five stars coming up next in about 3 minutes.
Okay. We're going to do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97. We're going to give you winners. Do you want winners? Yes, you want winners. All you need to do, well, if you want a winner, I got it for you. Jeff Aronoff, 713-880-2822. Jeff Aronoff, you're going to be winning because you are going to get your home or your business more valuable. Okay. And that's the key to this thing. Is you want to, when you sell it, I mean, if you don't put anything into it, you don't upgrade those cabinets, you don't upgrade those floors, you don't upgrade the countertops, you don't, I mean, take care of the walls, if you don't take care of the vanities and the one of the biggest selling points for a home or a business is the bathrooms. You might laugh, but if they're really, really nice, I mean, it's going to be a heck of a lot easier to sell that home. So is your bathroom, is it got the rusty sink and toilet and just gross? No, that's not going to sell. You got to upgrade it. Get that new toilet. Get that new shower. Get that new sink, that vanity. You got to upgrade, people. And if you do, you want to do that, I got the guy for you. That's Jeff Aronoff at Absolute Marble and Granite. Got to be a big job, but he can get that job done. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN 97.5.
found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, this is a really quick segment here because we were way behind with Jeff Van Gundy. And so we got five-star joining us right now. He gave us a couple of winners last night. And, boy, that Arkansas win was so easy, five-star. And so was the Cougs. So good.
Had the right side.
So good. Michigan didn't get there. They fell apart at the end. But they were. I thought that was a wonderful pick, too. I thought Tech was going to be a good pick, too. But, well, you didn't have my head, Tech. But what do you got for us today, five-star?
Today, man, good morning, first of all, guys. How you guys doing? We're going with Miami, man. We're going to do a single-spot game split on this. We're going to go Miami -2.5 and -145 money line. Miami's a talented, well-coached team, guys. They're playing the best ball at the right time of the season. Coach Jim Larrañaga is one of the most respected coaches in the sport. He's really benefited from DePaul transfer Charlie Moore taking control of that offense. His ball handling, decision making, and his passing allows Isaiah Wong to play off the ball where he performs better, where he can really focus on scoring. Maybe their best player is Cameron McGusty. He transferred there a couple of years ago from Oklahoma. The Cyclones that they're facing, Iowa State, they caught a real break, man, with Chucky Hepburn going down early for Wisconsin in the game. And they did keep Johnny Davis in check. And they're a very good defensive team, but they struggle to score. Miami plays defense, but the most of all thing you got to remember about Miami is they're more explosive and more aggressive than Iowa State is. I don't think it's any way that the Cyclones are able to keep up. They survive off of tough jumpers by Isaiah Brockington. I don't see them doing too much tonight, and I think Miami runs away with this one at the end. So take Miami, later -2.5 and -145 money line as well.
All right, we got Miami. Give us another one.
Okay, we're going to go with Providence +7.5, ooh, man. We're dealing once again with a very public team in Kansas facing a less popular team, a team that a lot of people don't know in the masses. Providence is a good team. Team is the key word with the Friars guys. The Big East champs have five players that average more than 9 points per contest. Kansas is a blue blood, and they have a future NBA All-Star and a shooting guard, Abahi. Overall, though, I love how deep and well-coached the Friars team is. They match up well with the Jayhawks. These teams are a lot closer in talent than it appears. Both have sterling records on the season. Actually, the Friars have only lost 5 games this season with a tough Big East and out-of-conference schedule. They also have positional advantages at both the point guard and center over the number one seed Jayhawks. And, you know, Kansas has a history, guys, of not performing up to its expectations in these type of spots. Al Durham, A.J. Reeves, and Will Bynum combined for one of the most potent backcourts in America for Providence. The Jayhawks big man, Dave McCormick, is going to have all kinds of issues checking the four-year starting big man, Nate Watson, for Providence. Watson is much quicker and just as physical. I trust Ed Cooley. He's going to have his team ready. They're 7-2 on the road this year. Kansas has struggled on the road this year. As you know, this is a neutral site game. You don't have your friendly rims at home. I really expect the Friars to keep this game close. They're very scrappy, and they're going to be in position to maybe pull out a upset at the end of this game.
There it is, five-star, giving us winners. He's been spectacular. And let's get him again tonight. Five-star, you got to be loving this, games all the time, Thursdays and Fridays, as opposed to waiting for NFL and college football. I mean, this is fun. This is good, clean fun for the whole family. Five-star, man, we appreciate it. Way to hit 2 out of 3 yesterday. Let's get 2 today.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go 2-0 tonight, man. We'll talk to you guys.
I love the Miami. I told you Miami would be a pick by five-star. It's just that team is a dangerous team right now.
Yep. All right, 9:45 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. News of the Weird is coming. Are your children internet zombies? We'll answer the question on the other side. But first, why don't you talk about your patio?
My patio, I've actually watched zombie shows out of my patio. As a matter of fact, this stupid one that I can't remember, but it had to do with zombies, but it was also a guy who could crack safes. I didn't really understand how they fit together, but I know I was watching it out on my patio, and I remember I was having, at that time, it was a gin and tonic at that particular time, but I was just having my own time by my own self out, out on my patio, and it was a great time. Over the weekend, we watched college basketball tournament action. I was grilling out there, and the kids, we were all watching Cougs and Illinois play. They were out shooting baskets, coming over to watch the game. You got sound system up in the gabled roof. See, this is what I'm talking about. You and your boys could have a place to, you know, your buddies come over and you are watching games, watching your Saturday games, your Sunday games. You can have multiple TVs installed out there, a great cooktop and grill and refrigerator installed with a big kitchen area and what do they call them? The islands with the bar stools that you have a spot to sit. They can do anything that you can conceive of. They turn your backyard into an outdoor oasis. I'm talking about Texas Custom Patios. If you want to see what they did with the space that I had before and after, just go look at tcplance.com, tcplance.com, and you're going to see it's truly an incredible transformation, and they can do the same thing for your home as well. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 949 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is our final segment of the day. It's called News of the Weird. And it is weird.
We call it Noticias de los Locos.
Remember that guy I told you woke up with a brain implant and he wanted to hear Tool?
Yeah, we thought that was maybe a fake website.
It's not. No, that one's not. That's not a fake. It's the Miami Standard.
That's a real thing?
Yeah. Actually, it's in multiple places. That's actually not. He got a brain transplant, apparently. And his first words were, "I want a beer." That's my guy.
That's real?
That's real. "I want a beer" was the first things he said that were out of his mouth.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a real thing?
Yeah. It's a real thing.
So the other one, is Tool,
the Miami
was not
Standard
real.
Is it a real paper? I don't know. Maybe they just...
I mean, it sounds real.
Yeah, it does really sound. I think. If you just woke up from brain surgery, from a brain implant, what would you want? A beer. Well, if he got my brain... Right?
Yeah.
If he got my brain, what would he say? "Give me a Coors Light. I'm ready."
If he had your brain, yeah. I think that's
right?
He wouldn't
just want a beer, though.
What he would say.
A Florida man beat up a stranger in his home. Unfortunately, he wasn't in his own home.
Oh, no.
He's accused of beating up a 69-year-old after showing up the victim's home thinking it was his own.
"What the hell are you doing here?" Is that the guy, the white
That's
guy
the
with
guy.
The mustache?
52-year-old Jose Cruz Rios was drunk.
Not
Saturday
a white guy.
Night. Not a white guy.
Jose Cruz?
Rios.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, when the victim confronted the suspect, he allegedly beat the victim badly in the face, knocking him out. He thought he was in his own house.
Oh, these track homes. They look very similar.
A taxi driver led cops on a two-state chase. You know why?
Why?
She said, "I didn't feel like stop. I didn't feel like stopping."
Stopping for what?
She failed to yield to cops in Huntsville, setting off a pursuit heading north that went into Meridianville. When she was finally apprehended, she said, "I just didn't feel like stopping today." Do you think that you should stop or lead cops on a two-state chase?
Stop.
Yeah, I think so.
Because eventually you're going to stop.
A 24-year-old man is facing charges after an incident last week. He's from British Columbia. Shortly after noon, cops received a report of an armed robbery at a business at the 1800 block of 20th Avenue. The lone man was reported to have brandished a knife at staff of the business and then fled on foot with a small amount of ice cream.
Cash. Oh.
Ice cream. He had an armed robbery for ice cream. You would think you could ask somebody for $2.
Here's an idea. Why don't you run into a store and just take one of those small ones? Pretend like you're going to buy it and just go munch down somewhere like behind an aisle as fast as you can. That way you avoid jail time?
I mean, honestly,
potential
they
tasering?
Will never arrest you for eating one of those small ice creams in a store.
They'll say, get out of
here. And you know
here.
What? You're just actually, you could just walk out with it and eat it. Go, look, I'm eating this ice cream. Screw you. And nothing would happen. But when you brandish a knife, guess what?
Yeah.
A new poll is out. 7 in 10 parents fear their kids are becoming internet zombies. Are your kids becoming internet zombies?
My daughter's starting to become a little bit of a Netflix junkie.
Is she?
Yeah.
Well,
so does that count? You can't watch Netflix without the internet. Without Wi-Fi, I should say.
Well, that's true, but that's not internet junkie, I don't believe.
But I think internet junkie means streaming too, right?
Maybe.
Well, that's what it is.
Is that what
Netflix
your daughter's doing?
Streaming.
The Nun?
Yeah, she's watching, I mean, you know, like Nickelodeon type shows.
Well, I get that, but
she's
I would
not
think,
watching Ozark.
Shouldn't she have her Bible open
well,
at some time?
Well, she homeschools know, during the day, but this is once school is over with.
Is the Bible's online too?
She doesn't have the Bible at her homeschool stuff.
Okay, I'm just asking. A Florida man. Okay, would you rather die by lightning strike or B, killed in a car crash after colliding with an 11-foot alligator?
I would say killed in a car crash. After car crash, lightning strike.
You hit an 11-foot alligator that was in the roadway.
So if you're killed in a car crash, that probably takes a little time. You're flipping over and stuff like that. Does a lightning strike automatically kill you?
Yeah, probably. I'd rather do that.
People are hit by lightning and survive all the time. You'd hate to be hit by lightning then die like 45 minutes later when you're laying on the ground.
Was the reason. I mean...
Well, I'd rather be killed in a car wreck with an alligator than eaten by an alligator.
Yeah, right. No question. A male birth control pill is coming soon. Do you wish it would have happened like about 10 or 12 years ago?
All of my children are blessings, John. Do you wish it would have happened for you?
No.
Several years ago?
No.
Okay.
A Florida woman is charged after a neighbor squirted... After she squirted a neighbor with a water gun, do you think that you should be arrested and put in jail for squirting someone with a water gun?
I would say yes.
You do?
Well, is it water in there or hydrochloric acid?
No, there's water in
it. Is it lye?
No, it's
water. Can you dissolve bones with it?
Do you think you should do jail time for squirting someone with water?
Are you sure it's water and not rubbing alcohol and it got in somebody's eyes?
It's water.
Okay.
That's
Maybe not jail. You can get beat up for stuff like that.
Sean, good job. RJ, ready? RJ, you ready? He's getting there. RJ is going to be debuting here soon with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Cougs playing tomorrow at 5:09. We will talk about it on Monday, everybody. Hope you all have a great weekend. Vanessa and Gallant next.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.